To this week's edition of Blind Like Me. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is show 43. They've decided they want me to identify what show we're doing. I never can keep up with it, but I do know this. Our guest is Lisa Hall, and you're in San Antonio, Lisa. Is that right?
That is correct, sir.
Well, I lived and spent a lot of time over there, have a lot of good friends in what we call, referred to as the Alamo City.
That is correct, sir.
How long have you lived there?
Well, I've been living in San Antonio since April 29th, 1995.
So not that long, about less than 10 years.
Yeah, that's correct, sir.
All right, well, let's get back to your early life. For instance, where were you born?
I was born in Shreveport, Louisiana, on December 3rd, 1962.
Well, you're going to give away your age now. You want to be careful, Lisa.
That's okay.
So you're 42 years old.
I'm 41.
41, going to be 42.
That's right.
All right. In Shreveport, Louisiana. If I'm going over there to gamble tomorrow, I'll tell them you said hi, okay?
I was born a preemie.
Is that right?
Weighed 2 pounds.
Oh, my.
I lost 1 pound, 13 ounces. The doctors only gave me a 10% chance of survival. And I was considered a miracle baby.
Really?
Yes, sir.
It's a miracle that you survived, I guess, isn't it?
That's right.
That's amazing. So I was talking to somebody else the other day that had kind of basically the same problem, and you have to think when something happens to you, I'm lucky to be alive.
Right, right.
And you are. So yep. Shreveport, Louisiana, 1962, they gave you too much oxygen, or they...
Mm-hmm.
They...
Right. I was had a lot of areas that were underdeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to be born in March, and I came in December.
Hmm.
I guess I just could not wait to get into the world.
Couldn't wait to get here and start. And so that resulted in your total loss of vision.
Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest in the family.
And you're the youngest of how many children?
There's my sister.
Uh-huh.
And my brother that's in the middle. Uh-huh. So my sister's the oldest.
So your sister's the oldest, and then mm-hmm. and then your brother, and then you.
Yeah.
And the rest of the kids' eyes are just fine.
Yeah, they were all fine.
Yeah.
They were all normal.
Well, by 1962, they had blind people had come a long way, we think. And so you, your parents, how did they treat you as a child? Did they let you?
They treat me normal. They never let anything held back.
They let you run and ramble like you wanted to.
Right. I ride the tricycle up and down the sidewalk.
And, yeah, sure.
You know, sit on top of the wash machine. You know, people were afraid of that.
Yeah.
I was just always the kind of person that liked to explore.
I know how bad they think you were going to get hurt if you fell off the washing machine.
there was a lot of people whenever we had company. They always afraid that I would fall off, but my mom assured them that I knew where I was.
And that you knew what you were doing, and you wouldn't fall off.
No.
And so you had a pretty normal, quote-unquote, normal childhood until they sent you. Did they send you away to school, or did they put you?
Yeah, I went to what used to be Louisiana School for the Blind in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
It's about... about a five-hour drive.
Yeah, it's a good way from Shreveport. I'll tell you that. It's a good way from Shreveport to Baton Rouge.
Oh, yes.
See, we live in Lufkin, which is, I guess, about halfway between the two. You wouldn't go through Lufkin to get, but it's, you know, we're on down from, we're about 100 and about 2.5 hours from Shreveport and about 4 hours from Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
So you were a good way from home.
My parents, the first 3 years, this happened like in 1968.
Uh-huh.
I think about November, I think, when I first started going to school. And my first, I think, 3 years or so, it was very difficult because my parents would drive me down and then drive me back. And, of course, they had to do it like a one day, or like a 10-hour drive total.
Yeah.
Getting to the school and back. And I think about second or third grade, I started taking the 12-way bus.
Uh-huh.
And I started taking the bus back and forth, and I went home like every other weekend.
Yeah, that made things a lot better, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You got to see your brother and sister and your parents. And what'd your daddy do?
My dad worked in the federal government for the Housing and Urban Development.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, and he did a lot of traveling during the time that he lived. Unfortunately, I lost my dad when I was 13.
Is that right?
It was at a time when we were home for the Easter holidays for that week. And we went shopping the night before, my mom and I, and he went with us. Of course, he weren't, you know, walking around the mall while we were in the store.
Uh-huh.
And the next day, see, my mom was keeping kids, because that's mainly what she did. When I was growing up, she was keeping a lot of kids where parents have their own jobs. So she had a babysitting job at home. So she was keeping as many as 14 kids at one point.
How many?
14.
As many as 14 at one time?
Mm-hmm.
Good heavens.
All
right, so your dad, you all went to the mall.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, we were shopping for some underclothes and stuff, and the next day, I kind of slept in a little late and woke up the next morning and, you know, I wasn't sure what was going on. So I knew my dad must have gone off somewhere, but I didn't know where.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 11 a.m. when we got the, I guess, when the state police came to our door to told us that my dad was involved in an automobile accident, and that's when I came unglued.
And in this automobile accident resulted in his death.
Yeah, he was burned.
Oh, my.
In the car, I ran into a milk truck. And my dad and I, we were real, real close. And
this was on Easter Sunday. What a thing.
This first happened around April the 22nd, I believe, in 1976.
Yeah.
It occurred on a Friday.
Oh, Friday, before Easter. Okay.
I think it was after Easter.
Okay.
We were home for a whole week.
Oh, you were home for a whole week from the school for the blind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you didn't go back, of course, for a while.
I didn't go back until probably toward the end of the following week.
Yeah.
With the funeral and everything. I told my mama, I said, you ought to go find another dad. I said, now you're going to have to find a job as long as you can be home on weekends, summer times, and holidays. You know, my mom doesn't have a college education. She couldn't think of anything that she could do. But she finally decided to go to work for the Cattle Parish school system in Shreveport.
Uh-huh.
And that's where she started working with special education kids with learning disability. And then she ended up working with blind and visually impaired kids.
Well, let's get back to your early time at the School for the Blind. How did they started you on Braille? How did you do with
it? On the Braille, using the Perkins Braille writer.
How'd you do with that?
I did very well with that. In fact, they kept me in kindergarten for about a year and a half, or 2.5 years, or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
Why was that?
Well, they wanted to make sure that I have a good foundation in Braille skills before moving to first grade.
And so you moved to first grade, and you did well with Braille, and you you liked school, right?
Yeah, I liked it. You know, did okay for the first I think the first couple of years, I think as I got into higher grades, especially third, fourth, and fifth, where you got a lot of reading and stuff, grades didn't quite come out the way I wanted to be.
Things weren't working out as well. Was that because of your...
I stuck it out. And
because of your slow... Could you slow at Braille, or did you do well at Braille?
Well, I did well with Braille. One of my problems I had was reading comprehension.
Okay.
Understanding what I'm reading. And also, I had some problems understanding the concepts of mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And various things like fractions and decimals. And
they gave you like they gave you a lot of trouble, fractions and things, right?
Yeah. Had a lot of, when I came home on the weekend and stuff, I had to have some instruction through a local individual here. Local individual in Shreveport.
But you held on and made it through those grades, through those fractions?
Yes, I made it through the grades. In fact, from 7th grade all the way through 12th grade, I had perfect attendance. So the
seventh.
First few years during my elementary years, I never quite made perfect attendance.
But 7th grade through 12th grade, you were perfect. Your attendance was perfect.
Right.
That's something. You caught on to the fractions finally and learned to do those sorts of things. And
I started learning piano when I was in the fourth grade.
Uh-huh. How did you take to that? Did you like that?
I did real well. In fact, when I first started learning about Braille music notation in the third grade, I didn't understand it. But when I started taking piano lessons, that's when it came a lot clearer.
Really?
Yes.
So you excelled at piano. That you were good at music.
I also played in the flute. I think it was about 7th grade when I started playing with the flute. I first started off with a clarinet, and I started played around with that for a while, and then I tried the French horn. I didn't like it. I tried different instruments, but I finally settled on the flute.
And also keyboard, piano, or whatever, right?
Yeah, right. I play classical music mostly.
Mm-hmm. You like the other music, but you play classical.
Yeah, like Bach and Beethoven.
Yeah.
I love that.
All right. And you graduated high school from the Louisiana School, or what?
I graduated from Louisiana School for the Visually Impaired. Back in 1978-79 is when they combined the two schools together.
What two schools?
They had the School for the Blind for the Whites and School for the Blind for the Blacks. And they combined the two schools together on Government Street.
They didn't do that until 79?
78, 79.
They were a little slow about that, weren't they, huh?
Yes, they were.
Boy, you wouldn't think in Louisiana that'd make that much difference.
That's how it was. Yeah. When it happened, my mom didn't like it at first. Of course, we managed to deal with it. And at that time, I was already running in track and field.
Oh, yeah?
I was involved in athletics.
Mm-hmm. Did you do well at athletics in school?
I did okay. Probably not as well as I would have liked as far as like being able to run a 440. But I did I did the hop, skip, and jump and the high jump and stuff like that. Did okay. You know, didn't really place too well in it because I didn't have enough strength, I guess, in my legs to jump far.
What size school is this this in Baton Rouge? Is that about 300 students, 400, or how many?
Oh, it's probably about 100.
Is that all?
120. It's kind of small.
Really?
Yes.
But you lived on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And you...
In a dormitory.
In a dormitory. You didn't have separate rooms when you got older?
I had separate bedrooms, yes, for a period of... A few years as I was getting older, I think I may have shared rooms a few times, off and on at different years.
Did they attempt to teach you any mobility at that school? Any cane?
I learned started learning cane travel in the 8th grade.
Uh huh.
And that's when they started teaching me with the cane. And at that time, it was one of those short canes that only goes up to the sternum, which I hated.
Uh huh. Because, you don't like those little short
yeah,
canes.
Yeah, because it didn't give you enough time to stop if you're coming across an obstacle.
Yeah, I use one now, but I know where I'm going. I can use a short one nowadays. But they recommend them to come to your chin, those big, long...
When I got involved with the National Federation of the Blind in 85, and I went to my first national convention, and I saw the longer canes, and I think it was about 88 before I finally got my long one.
Mm-hmm. So you graduated from the School for the Blind in what year?
1983. About 20 people in the class.
And that's all, 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a small school, isn't it?
Had my aunt and my uncle and all of my family and all, and we even had a video cassette of the graduation made.
All right, let's take a short break, and we'll get you into whatever you did after that, your adult life, in just a minute. We're visiting with Lisa Hall on Blind Like Me, back in just a second.
November 4th, 2004 in Houston, Texas, we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show. And you're invited to the celebration. We'll begin Friday, November 5th at the Sheraton on JFK Boulevard. Saturday, we'll have special motivational speakers and panel discussions on blindness issues.
Then it's Saturday night and on to live music and karaoke.
Sunday morning, we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show. On November 4th, 2004 in Houston, Texas, we'll record our 100th. On November 7th, 2004 in Houston, Texas, we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show. And you're invited to the celebration. We'll begin Friday, November 5th at the Sheraton on JFK Boulevard. Saturday, we'll have special motivational speakers and panel discussions on blindness issues.
Then it's Saturday night and on to live music and karaoke.
Sunday morning, we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show.
And we've got something special planned for Sunday afternoon.
Then it's Sunday night and time for more live music and karaoke.
All in all, a great weekend to meet old friends and make new ones.
For more information, call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucom.net. Reservations and meeting room space are limited. It's first come, first served.
Join us in Houston, Texas this November, and we'll guarantee you a weekend you'll not soon forget.
936-634-9500.
Lisa Hall, who resides now in San Antonio, Texas, born in Shreveport, Louisiana, in 1962, in December of 1962, and attended the Louisiana School for the Blind in Baton Rouge, which is a wonderful town if you didn't have to live there.
Well, that's all right. You know, what's called the red stick.
I love to go visit Louisiana. I wouldn't want to live over there, but I loved. In fact, like I said, we're going over tomorrow afternoon and probably play a little blackjack and push the button on those slot machines in a little bit. One of the closest places we can go to do that, and looks like there's not going to be much going on, and my wife loves to do it, so we're going to Shreveport tomorrow.
That's good.
All right, so you got out of college, got out of high school, what did you think you'd do then?
Well, after that, before I graduated, I had a senior recital that I did a performance on, playing the piano and the flute, and I did that right before the graduation, and I played one of my flute solo that I played like I was never going to have a flute. And, of course, after I graduated from high school, I went home and started making preparations to go to what used to be Arkansas Enterprises for the Blind, which is now called Lions World Services for the Blind in Little Rock, Arkansas.
I'm not familiar with them. What do they teach?
Okay. They're a nonprofit organization that trains blind people from all over the United States, including some foreign country, in adjustment to blindness, vocational skills, whether it be taxpayer service representative, receptionist, medical transcription, small business management, small engine repair, et cetera.
Okay, and I think now they're teaching computers there.
Yes, they are there.
Seems that I do know somebody who went there. So you made preparations to go to this Arkansas thing. What did you?
For 12 months, and mainly I was working on independent living skills, Braille cane travel, cooking, housekeeping. And I lived part of the time in the dorm, and then the other part I lived in an apartment on the campus. However, I wish it would have been off campus, because that way I would have been utilizing my mobility skills as far as being able to travel around town. That didn't quite happen the way it's supposed to be.
But they were teaching you independent living, how to cook,
mm-hmm.
how to wash clothes.
That's right.
All things that you'd think they would have taught you in high school.
That is correct, because I was sheltered pretty much where we didn't. You know, we always had to have our laundry taken to the washateria, you know, which.
Sheltered by your parents, by your mother.
Well, actually, the school for the blind. I don't think they really quite prepared me for the outside world as far as being able to cook my own meal and stuff like that.
That would have been a lot of trouble to actually teach you that, wouldn't it? Wouldn't want to
bother.
Well,
I did have some cooking, but not that much, because when you have, like, 10 people to a class, it's hard to deal with one-on-one.
But they did have home ec. They did have a home ec department.
They did have home ec. They did have sewing, and we did have cooking.
Yeah. And I've often thought, we had a home ec there, but I can't, and none of the boys took it. I didn't know how to cook anything. What did they think? I wasn't going to want to eat? Or there's some. I guess they figured I'd find some woman to cook for me.
Yeah, that's probably the way it was back then. Yeah. But whether they have changed some of that, I don't know. But that's something I'd be interested to find out.
Yeah, I would also. So you went here for a year to this Arkansas, what did you call it?
Arkansas Enterprises for the Blind.
Arkansas Enterprises for the Blind. Got through there. What did you think you could teach music, or you could do something with your music?
I would have loved to, but I would have had a college degree. But,
yeah.
Anyway, I mainly went for receptionist and clerk typist type training, switchboard work.
Even though you were typing and you couldn't see what you were typing, couldn't hear, you had no way of knowing what you were actually typing, did you?
Yeah, I was using, when I was school for blind, I was using an electric typewriter. And then when I went to Arkansas, they wanted us to use the manual typewriter in the very beginning.
Yeah.
Ooh, I hated that. But I had to do it.
But they taught you to type. I mean, you already knew how to type.
I already knew how to type. It's just getting my skill of speed up.
They helped you with that.
Yeah, and then, of course, after a little bit, they did switch me from the manual to the electric.
Manual to electric. So you were learning, you were going to be a receptionist for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, did that work out for you? Tell us.
After I finished the training in June of 1984, I went home, and I started looking for work, but it wasn't easy finding a job.
No, it wasn't. You were still in Shreveport.
Yes, that's right. I tried looking for work. Of course, when I wasn't looking for work, I stayed home doing a lot of reading, started reading books on computers, and realized eventually I was going to have to get additional skills.
And, started reading books on computers. Now, you read these in Braille, or are you talking book?
Some of it on tape, some of it on in Braille.
And
media I can get my hand on.
You realized then that computers were going to be a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you beat me, because I didn't have any idea back then blind people would ever be operating computers. So you were at home with your other brother. Your brother and sister were both gone.
They were both gone because they both got married and all. I guess back in the 70s, they both got married. And
so little Lisa was at home with her parents, where she didn't want to be.
That's right.
Where she didn't want to be. I've been there. That you So what did you do? What did you decide to do?
Well, I to start in, you know, like I say, looking for work. My finally found an opportunity to work at the LSU State University Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there for 2 months as a telephone operator.
In Shreveport?
Mm-hmm.
As a switchboard operator?
Right. And they never had a blind person working there. There were about three other operators working in the same room. And unfortunately, all the doctors' list and everything were all in print, so I had to work the graveyard shift the first week to braille everything in braille, using a Perkins file writer.
Sure. So you had to make a braille list of all the doctors' phone numbers and
numbers and stuff. And sometimes their numbers keep changing, and that was hard to keep up.
Yeah, did you do it on a page of a Braille paper, or do it on flashcards?
Regular Braille paper.
You didn't do it on flashcards.
8.5 by 11 inch Braille paper.
Looks like flashcards would have been better. They'd have been easier to change.
Well, I probably didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Using index cards.
So you had to, if some doctor's number changed, you had to redo the whole list.
Yeah, sometimes.
So,
but I was in the process at that time doing the, I think it was September of 95. I had already gone to my first national convention.
So you stayed home a good while.
Yeah, so that's 85, yeah.
You stayed home a good while.
Stayed home a good long time in 85, so. I started going to a national convention and decided that I wanted to get the state to purchase me a VersaBraille 2, which is a Braille display.
Yeah.
Which is a standalone computer so that I can keep all those doctor stuff updated in that.
Okay, you were
a lot of paper.
You were still working at LSU.
Yeah, I only worked, at that place for 2 months, and that was it.
Oh, you only worked there?
They did everything they could to get me out of there.
You only worked at LSU 2 months?
Yep.
I'll be darned. But so the commission didn't buy you a brailer, or they
did? Well, they did purchase me the machine. It's just that I didn't have it ready at the time. So when I wasn't working, I would be at home putting all their stuff into the computer before I could take it up there.
So you had a talking computer then?
No, Braille.
Oh, just using Braille, okay.
Mm-hmm, just a standalone computer. Using proprietary word processor and that kind of thing. And so I did that. And my counselor came to me one day and told me not to go to work because he had some bad news to report to me.
Not to go to work at LSU?
Yeah.
Okay. Bad news was they fired you.
I was terminated.
They terminated you.
Mm-hmm. And I cried for 2 nights.
Well, yeah, I guess so, because that was your good little shot at a job.
No, yeah. Prior to that, I did work for 2 months at School for the Blind as a librarian assistant during the summer in 82, 83, somewhere around there, in the summer of 82.
Yeah, and let me guess. This firing from LSU proved to be a good thing, right?
Yeah, in a way it was a good thing, but then on the other hand, I didn't want to have any bad records with the state.
Yeah.
So that if I were to work for another agency or for another company with the state,
you just decided at LSU that you couldn't do the job.
Yeah, that's right. They cited. Supervisors tried to do everything they could to get me out of there because they didn't want a blind person there. I think it was a matter of not accepting it.
Yeah.
Not accepting my disability.
But could you do the job?
Yeah.
You could do the job. You did do the job. You just felt like they didn't want you there.
That's right.
All right. So what did we do then?
Started looking for another work.
Well, yeah.
I guess it's about another 5 months looking for work.
Okay.
It was about oh, I guess before the end of April of 96, when I got a call from a counselor from the Louisiana Division of Blind Services, and he told me about a position at the Louisiana Association for the Blind, in which I told him, why not, let's go for it. They had a position for a receptionist.
And so you went there.
Mm-hmm. And I started my training there. They had a training program. It's about a year-long training program. So they gave me more experience doing secretarial work by doing answering the phone, taking messages, and writing the messages. What I did is I used my Braille equipment and my ink printer to print out the messages. It gets to the right people.
Now, this was for the Louisiana Institute for the Blind?
Louisiana Association for the Blind.
Louisiana Association for the Blind.
Yeah, which is a workshop agency.
So, and there are a lot of other blind people there.
You're right, that's correct.
So, how long did you work there?
I worked there for about 8 years.
That sounds like a nice little job.
Yes, it was. In fact, they had me doing more than just secretarial work. When they realized what kind of skills I had, what kind of background I had, and everything, they got me doing more than just answering the phones and doing taking messages.
Okay, like what else? Did they?
Oh, they had me doing some Braille transcription, which is something I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Yeah.
But at that time, I was not certified to do Braille transcription, but I did do some of that.
Mm-hmm.
I also took a break for 2 months back in 1991 to take some computer training at University of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And I got 2 months off to take computer training, and when I came back, I started helping them put together a second proposal for getting computer equipment to set up the computer lab.
Yeah.
So I was a resource person for that.
Well, good. And you worked there 8 years.
Yes, and okay. I also taught Braille, and I also did some teaching of Braille technology and speech output.
You taught Braille to newly blinded people or to? Well, that's good.
They come into our training program.
That's good. And you left there why? Why did you decide to leave
now,
there?
The reason why I left the agency because they were downsizing, cutting back on hours, and I just didn't see no future. And that was in April 29th of 94.
Uh-huh. So you felt like you needed more hours and you felt like you could find a better job or what?
Mm-hmm. At that time, I chose to resign from LAB and go to Louisiana Center for the Blind in Ruston, Louisiana, to sharpen my independent living skills and to get that confidence back so I can get ready to start living on my own.
Because at this time you were still living at home.
I was still living at home with my mom, yes.
Oh. Are your mama still alive?
Yes, she is.
But you didn't want to live with her. You wanted to move along.
Yes, I wanted to move along.
Yeah, can't blame a girl for that, can you? Huh?
After a while, you know, you got to start trying to set up your own life. And at that time, I never had a checking account or a savings account as long as I lived with my mom. So I started for Social Security Disability at that time.
You had never handled your own money. She had always done that for you.
That's right.
You wanted to do that yourself. Now, what year? This was early 90s, right?
This was 94.
94, so...
April 94, at the end of April 94.
So you were 32 years old. It was time you got out on your own, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I went to Louisiana Center for the Blind, I think it was on May the... See, the first or second, I forgot which day it was. I think I may have went in on a Sunday.
All right.
Which is about an hour and 15 minutes from Shreveport. And it's run by National Federation of the Blind.
Your mom took you?
Yeah. My mom, I think my aunt, and maybe my mom's boyfriend, They all took me over there with all my stuff.
And left you there?
Mm-hmm.
Left you there.
Mm-hmm. And I started living in the apartment from day one, which we had to walk like 6 to 8 blocks to the center every day.
And
there
was
no public transportation.
And this center was going to teach you what?
This center was going to teach me how to live on my own, doing the cane travel, braille, cooking, the same kind of techniques.
I was going to say,
but this center has something that no other center has.
What's that?
It is run by blind people.
Mm-hmm.
It is taught by blind instructors. All the instructors are blind.
Mm-hmm.
And they teach the philosophy of blindness, having a positive attitude to blindness. And that was not done in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I felt like I needed more of.
And this is run by NFB,
mm-hmm.
by National Federation of Blind.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did you stay there?
I was there for about 11 months, to April 10th, 1995.
All right. And you left there and?
I did more things there than I ever have gained anywhere else, learning. Did a cooking for a meal for 40 people in cooking.
Really?
Yes. That was a challenge.
And it was, well, of course it'd be a challenge. It was inedible. I mean, they ate it, right?
Yeah. And then
good.
And then I also had to do 3 drop-off routes in cane travel. So I had the cane travel, the way they do it is discovery technique. It's not so much learning your route. You're learning to discover new environments.
In other words, they don't tell you the route. They just tell you to go somewhere? Or how do they have
you learn your address, and you learn how to get there.
Yeah, that's good.
Sometimes I even was monitoring another student that was learning the route that I had already taken.
Yeah. So you did well there. You liked it there.
Yeah, I liked it there, and there was upbeat. Always a positive attitude. We, had an exercise program. They had... Now, at the time when I left, they had woodwork, which I never took any kind of woodworking stuff. But they do that as part of the program now.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I did a lot more stuff there. I even went to took my first course in college.
Really? And what sort of course was that?
I took a computer literacy course back in, and went to Louisiana Tech University while I was going through training.
Yeah, because we had talking computers by then, didn't we?
At that time, yeah. So that was when they were using DOS and everything. And one of the things that really bothered me when I graduated from the School for the Blind is that I was told that I was not college material.
Uh-huh.
And that really held me back big time about wanting to go to college.
That you were not college material, so you believe that.
Yes.
You believe that, and so you didn't attempt to go to college.
But when I went to Louisiana Center for the Blind, they encouraged me to go.
Uh-huh.
They saw that I had a lot more, knowledge.
A lot more going for you than the blind school.
And realized, what my potential was.
Okay, did you go on to college?
Yeah, I took one course, grade A, in that course.
Uh-huh.
When I finished training at Louisiana Center for the Blind in April 10th, 1995, of course, at that time, I was already going through Braille transcription program that they had at the center.
Yeah.
So I was getting more experience working with computers, working with the Braille translation. Of course, all this was in DOS, using a scanner and all that kind of stuff. And
we
learned how to use a modem. Well, we didn't run out of time.
We were still in...
go online.
We were still in DOS then?
Yeah, about then in 94.
Mm-hmm. I guess we were.
Yeah, because Windows... I wasn't introduced to Windows until I moved down to Texas.
Well, there was a Windows, but I don't know if there was any speech for it for blind people.
No, there wasn't. There was... it was kind of... antiquated, so to speak. It's still kind of early development.
Yeah. All right, well, we've got you out of this Louisiana Center for the Blind. Let's take a short break and get on to what you do now and what you've accomplished since then. Back with more Blind Like Me in just a minute. Well, of course, this November, all roads lead to Houston, Texas, for our the recording of our 100th Blind Like Me, or Blind Handyman Show. I get so confused. Our Blind Handyman Show that we do, and we assume that you've heard it. It runs on ACB Radio weekly. If you're listening on ACB Radio, well, it runs concurrently with the show. They run this Blind Like Me, and then they'll run a what we call a Handyman Show. We've done 86 or 7 of those. I can't remember which one we're doing today, but very close. And by November, we will have done, we'll be ready to do our 100th Blind Handyman Show. We thought we would do that with a live audience. That's something we've never done. We're gathering in Houston starting November 5th. That will be a Friday. Come in on November 5th. We have reservations for, I think, 30 rooms at the Sheraton Hotel on JFK Boulevard. That's close to the airport in Houston. And we're going to Saturday, we're going to do some, have some motivational speakers and talk some panel discussions about blindness issues. If you have ideas for things we could do on Saturday, or if you'd like to speak to the group, we'd love to have you. The rooms are, I think, approximately $84 and change, and that includes the room. That's not double occupancy. That's for the room. So two of you, if you share a room with somebody, it would be $42 a piece, which is a heck of a good rate on a hotel room this day and time, as you probably well know. Let's see, what else? The admission charge is $40 a day, or $20 a day. $40 for the entire thing. That's per person. $40 per person. That's a registration fee. That'll pay for conference rooms and other things that we must have to put this thing together. If you're interested, if you think you'd like to come, call me. Number is 936-634-9500. 936-634-9500. If you'd like to email me, if you prefer that means of communication, you can do so at philparr, P-H-I-L-P-A-R-R, at T-X-U, Tom X-Ray Union, com, T-X-U-com. I don't know why they did that. Philparr at T-X-U, dot, not dot. Let's start over. Philparr at TXU.com. No dot between them. Philparr at TXU.com.net. Philparr at TXU.com.net. 634-9500. Love to see you in Houston, Texas this November. Our guest on Blind Like Me is Lisa Hall today from San Antonio, Texas, and she made things pretty hard on herself, seemed like to me. She had a kind of a rough time. Spent a lot of time at home and trying to find work and wasn't able to find work. And graduated from the School for the Blind in Louisiana. Took training in Arkansas. But then ended up back home and spent, I think you'd agree, too much time at home. Stayed at home too long because you felt like you had to, or you were afraid to venture out, or no telling why. But now we have you out to this Louisiana Center for the Blind, and you graduated from there, or did they graduate you from there?
Well, I was able to complete all the requirements.
Yeah.
You know, did the Braille transcription. I even did my own contract work.
Uh-huh.
Earned $76 on the Braille menu I did for a restaurant where we had the graduation ceremony. And the graduation ceremony was very significant to me, and I want to tell you why.
All right.
They gave each student a bell, and on this bell has an eagle. And on this bell it says, and it's engraved, changing what it means to be blind.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the graduation date, April 10th, 1995, with my name on it, and with the National Federation of the Blind. And it means a lot to me. When something successful happens, ring the bell.
Okay. All right. And so you've had a chance to ring the bell a time or two since then?
Yeah, certainly have.
Okay. And what did you do when you got out of the Louisiana School for the Louisiana Institute for the Blind? You go back home?
Louisiana Center.
Yeah.
Well, I had already had a job lined up during my training, so I was doing job searching and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I moved to San Antonio, Texas. I got preparation to move to San Antonio, Texas.
You got what?
Started working for what used to be U.S. Long Distance phone company.
What did you do for them?
I was a long distance operator. And the company kept changing names. It used to be LCI and all that kind of stuff, and it finally settled with Quest Communication.
Yeah.
And I worked there for about 5 years.
You were a phone operator in that you did information or you placed calls for people? You placed calls.
Lots of calls.
I imagine so for in 5 years. Now, what sort of equipment? Did they have a computerized system? Or?
We had a computer. We had a regular computer that we used. Now, I used Braille. So I used an Alva Braille display on the job. And I used the regular headphones just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't use speech for this job. So this job ran under DOS on the software.
All right.
And so I placed customers' calls. That's all I did all day long, processing calls from collect, the credit card, to third party, people that are calling from a pay phone, you know, wanting to place a long distance call. So, you know, I did that for about 5 years.
But then that sort of thing, they don't have many operators anymore, do they?
Well, I think they still have some, but unfortunately, I was at one of those years I was getting burned out after 5 years, so I decided it's time to start looking for something else.
So you did. This was in 2000, 2001?
2000, in August 2000,
all
August
right.
10th, I was let go. So I was at work for 2 months. So I had to really rush to find work to try to keep things moving again.
Sure, because you were in San Antonio living on your own.
That's right.
And the bills came around whether you worked or not, didn't
I had
they?
To pay. I had to pay no matter what, you know.
That's right.
I had a savings account, which I started in 1996 and started building money in the savings account. And so, you know, I had to do something.
Yeah.
And I went to a national convention and that year and had about 60 copies of resumes that I was getting them distributed all over the country trying to find work.
Yeah.
And I networked with blind people in the National Federation of the Blind.
And you found work.
Yeah, I found work through the help of blind people here in San Antonio, an individual that works for Sears, and he helped me get some pool. Now, in between all of that searching, I had an interview with Freedom Scientific.
Okay.
And I was going to be interviewed for the technical support specialist position that they had down there in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I went to their facility. They even flew me out there, had me staying in the hotel. They paid for the hotel and the plane and all that good stuff. And I really liked it there.
They didn't hire you?
No, but they didn't select me. Unfortunately, I kept following up with it even after I had this other job. But I figured, well, maybe they found somebody that was more qualified.
But and they took you out there, but they decided not to hire you.
After being gone through several layers of interviews.
Is that
and
right?
They wanted to keep me on the list for 6 months, which they did, and I kept calling and kept calling and, you know, being persistent with these people. And after 6 months, I about decided maybe they didn't need me as bad as they thought they would.
Yeah, and so you ended up working for Sears.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing now, is working for Sears, and I'm working part-time for them. And then about August of 2002, I think it was. I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
It's been too long here.
Oh, it's only been a couple of years.
I decided to go back to college. Found out about an opportunity, which is a new program I'm really excited about because it's been going on for over a year and a half now.
Uh-huh. What's that?
Northwest Vista College started a broad transcription program. Training people, sighted people, to become Braille transcribers. And I and another blind person wanted to become part of that program.
All right.
So I started going through that program.
And so you would transcribe Braille for who?
You would go through the training and learning the grade 2 Braille symbols.
Mm-hmm.
Which you
already knew.
You take the course that the sighted people take.
Okay.
Which is a course that's offered. Usually it's offered through the mail. to any blind person that wants to become a Braille proofreader.
Mm-hmm.
And most sighted people, they usually either take it through the mail or they would take it through a local transcribing group.
All right.
That would teach Braille transcription. And you would learn all the Braille code. You would learn the proper usage of these codes, the proper way to format documents. So you go through the training, and then you submit a trial manuscript, which I just done recently.
You just submitted a manuscript to the Library of Congress?
Yes, submitted a trial manuscript. And as of May 12, 2004, just a few days ago,
really,
I passed the manuscript with a score of 90
good.
Out of 100.
That's good.
And now I am... I'm waiting for my certificate and all the reports to come back, but I am officially certified as a Braille transcriber.
Certified as a Braille transcriber. Now, can you find work doing that?
Yeah, so I can be able to do it from home. That's how most transcribers do their work. Some transcribers work in the school systems where they would transcribe textbooks into Braille.
Yes.
From print to Braille. Through the use of today's technology, there are textbooks that are being available in electronic format. However, they're not consistent in terms of the publishers because they will have it available in either Microsoft Word or ASCII.
Uh-huh.
In some cases, it may be in portable document format or PDF, which is very graphical.
Yeah.
Which is a problem for us as blind people getting access to PDF documents. If it's nothing but graphic and it has no text behind it,
yeah, if it's just a picture,
it becomes a problem.
If it's just a picture, it's hard to to try to. So you will do this for the school system, and they will send you documents to transcribe.
Send me documents through email or the internet.
Do you have some jobs? Do you have some things lined up?
No, not yet. I still have yet to finish up the rest of the program, which covers Braille formatting of textbooks, tactile graphics, which I'm not sure how a blind person would be able to do tactile graphics. The other codes of Braille, which is the introduction to music Braille, computer Braille, which a lot of the stuff I already know, but it's going to be a refresher for me.
Mm-hmm.
The mathematics and science notation, all of those different areas.
But you were working part time for Sears now.
Yes.
What do you do for them? What do you do for Sears?
I'm a customer service representative, scheduling service calls for a technician to go out to the customer's home.
Oh, in other words, when I call to have I have a service contract on my lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
When I call, you might be the one to say, well, the guy will be there at 11 o'clock next Friday, Mr. Parr.
Yeah, I would do all of this on the computer, and they use Windows NT, and I use the Alva there.
Braille.
And I still use Braille. Now, I do use a combination of speech and Braille, but I prefer Braille over speech.
Uh-huh.
I have one of these headphones where you hear the caller in one ear and the customer in the other.
You hear the caller in one ear and your Braille speech in the other.
And you have the customer in the other ear.
Now
you have caller in one ear, customer in the other, the synthesizer in the other.
Caller in one ear and synthesizer in the other ear.
Yeah.
Okay, and you can handle that fine.
It's okay. Now, Josh doesn't read everything on the screen, so I prefer using Braille. Read back customer information.
Okay, but I might, if I schedule my repair on my lawnmower, I might get you.
Yeah.
I'll be doing.
Or your washer, your dryer.
Yeah, well, I don't have one on washer dryer, but I do have one on my big riding.
Whatever you purchase from
Sears. I've got a big riding mower, and they come two or three times a year and put the belt back on. Didn't give me a new belt. Mm-hmm. Well, Lisa, all I can do is wish you luck. The guy said a while ago, learn Braille and learn mobility and everything else will fall in place. I think that was Tim Hendel's statement. And it looks like this Sears job you can keep and maybe get your Braille transcription thing going and have a full-time work now, right?
Yeah, I want to be able to. One of my thing is I learned how to create my own web pages.
Really?
While I was at Northwest Vista. So I have my own web page. and I put information about.
Okay, well, tell us if you're, how to get to your webpage.
The webpage is http://home.satx.rr.com/Lisa Hall.
And that's your web address. What's on that webpage?
On that webpage, we have information about, has a biography of myself.
Oh, yeah?
Has information about Braille in general for people that want to learn about Braille and the different resources that are out there. There's information about adaptive technology and what's available. Also information about library resources as far as e-text books where you can obtain them and download them on the computer. Information about games that are accessible for the blind. So we have a lot of different information up there.
All right, we're running out of time. We've got about 30 seconds. Give me the webpage address slowly one more time.
Sure. The webpage is http://home.satx.rr.com/Lisa Hall.
And that'll get you to your webpage.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal, Lisa. Lots of luck from all of us, and keep up the good work, hon.
Thank you.
If by chance you would like to be a guest on our little show, you can email me at blindlikeme@txucom.net, or you can call me at 936-634-9500. Those are two ways of locating me. Or you can come by 1604 Southwood in Lufkin, Texas, if you're ever in the area. Anyway, if you want to go to Houston with us, we'd love to have you. We'll give you the number to call for room reservations when you get a hold of me. Thanks much, and we'll see you next week. More of Blind Like Me.